Okay. Welcome back to Vibing in the Ritz car. I'm on the way home from work. I did not see the Grizzlies comeback against the Wolves. I watched a total of 0 seconds of that game. But here I am going to discuss it like I watched the entire thing. And I'm going to discuss the other playoff games through, or series through three games. First off, if you're listening to this, I just bought a remote controller for $65. I apologize, but it was an impulse buy. Sorry. I'm going to need an air fryer for Mother's Day, so you better be happy. Either way, tangent aside, and this is the Vibing and Risk Car podcast, we live on tangents. We live on tangents. We eat, sleep, and breathe tangents on this podcast. Anyway, let's talk about the Grizzlies win over the Timberwolves. Game 2 was a blowout. I know this is in Game 2, but I want to start Game 2. Game 2, we murdered the Timberwolves. It was not even close, that game. Any time in the game, it kind of didn't even feel like it was close. So, we got that win. That was pretty big. That was a really big win for us. And then, another thing is Anthony Edwards didn't go off in Game 2, which is big because if he goes off, they win the game. See Game 1. If he doesn't go off, see Game 2 and 3. I mean, I didn't watch the game. Maybe Anthony Edwards had like 40 points. I don't know about. When I checked at one point, D'Lo led them in scoring. Yeah. I'm in complete and utter shock that the Grizzlies were able to score 21 unanswered in an away playoff game, for one. For two, held the Timberwolves to single freaking digits in the fourth quarter. How many times has that been done in the playoff game? Google that. Google it. Someone Google it for me and send me the results you find. How many times has a playoff team been held to single digits in the fourth quarter? I feel like that number is very low, especially in games where it's close, right? I feel like close games, maybe. I'm going to say maybe. 2016 Game 7, maybe the Warriors scored single digits in the fourth quarter because the rim just, there's like a top on the rim, no one could score. I don't think so, though. I don't think so. I'm still in shock. First thing I do when I get home is watching the highlights to that game. Because genuinely, never have I been more shocked at a result of a sport than maybe whenever Nick Foles beat the Patriots. I'll give you that. But I went into this series saying Timberwolves in 6 or 5 because of how well they match up. They match up unbelievably well against the Grizzlies. They would beat literally, or the Grizzlies would beat any other team maybe besides like the Suns and maybe the fully healthy Warriors, but the Grizzlies just match up really good against the Warriors. Any of them, they would beat in a 7-game series. Besides maybe the Suns, like I said. They'll beat the Bucks. I think they'll beat the Bucks, especially without Middleton. They'll beat the Bulls. We beat the Bulls every time. I think we've won like a 17-game winning streak against the Bulls. We'd beat the Nets, because we beat the Nets all the time. Maybe the Celtics would beat us, but we'd beat the Heat. Maybe. I don't know. I just think that the Minnesota Timberwolves match up better against the Grizzlies than any other team in the league does. And so it's a very unfortunate situation that we had to play them round one. Now, let's talk about the game. Timberwolves were up, 25, 26? I turned off my phone. Because I'm like, okay, to Game 4 we go. I'm at work. I don't want to look at my phone the entire time. Game 4. To Game 4 we go. And I think we'll win Game 4. Because I don't think we're going to lose sooner up. Turns out, we didn't lose that game. Incredibly, the Grizzlies going a 21-0 run to tie the game, then to take the lead, and then they nearly win the game by double digits. Jaren Jackson Jr. on the scorecard, big block. Big block on Karl Anthony Towns. I didn't see it. Not, once again, have not seen a single second of this game. I can't say, I mean, I have no clue how we win that game. Not a clue. And that puts us in such a good position, snatching up all the momentum. And Patrick Beverley doing the too small gesture for John Morant. John didn't have a good game today. What's getting made? I don't know. Maybe he did. I don't know. I didn't see the game, but I know the score wasn't good. Scorecard. Missed like two free throws late. Which really would have iced it. Would have put us at 5, I think. Anyway, Brandon Clark hit free throws the next time down the court for them anyway. But John Morant is going to have about 35 next game. You're not going to hold him at bay for this long. It's not going to happen. Desmond Bain was amazing today. Jaren Jackson, don't know. Dylan Brooks, all I know is he was terrible in the first half. These things, and the Grizzlies still won. They played so bad, except for the final quarter. Even the third quarter, the Timberwolves murdered the Grizzlies. The first quarter, the second quarter to a degree, and the third quarter, the Wolves mauled the Grizzlies. Didn't matter. The Grizzlies won the game. It's just insanity. Just absolute insanity. And I don't think there's been a game like this year. I don't think there's been a bigger comeback than this. And to be honest, maybe I'm going to jinx it. Because I want to win this series so this game doesn't go down in not history. I don't want this game to be the Jermaine Curse catch of basketball games. I want us to remember this game. No one remembers when the Clippers erased the Warriors like 30-something point lead in 2018 or 2019. No one remembers that. Not a person. Not a single human being remembers that. As I pass this guy. No one remembers that. What they do remember is teams that win the series. If we win this series, this game goes down as the single greatest victory in the history of the Memphis Grizzlies franchise, which has existed for 21 years. That's all it is. And that's not hyperbole of any sort. This game, if they win the series, will go down as the greatest win in the history of this franchise. Because the stakes that rode on it, if you go down 2-1, against Minnesota, get blown out, and go into game 4 on your toes, also in Minnesota. The crowd's insane. Cat hasn't had a good game in the series yet, due to have a big one. D-Lo, due to have a big game. Ant, due to have another big game. You could get mauled again. But the Grizzlies didn't give up. They kept playing, and they won, and they take game 2, and they have a 2-1 lead in this series against all odds. Against all odds. Reminder, they traded for Desmond Bane. He was going to be a Celtic. Nope. Nope. Absolutely not. He is now a Grizzly. And he is a certified Timberwolves murderer. And there's that. Let's talk Heat Hawks for like 5 seconds. The Heat are better. That's all there is to that. The Heat are the better team. Surprising to no one, because they're the 1 seed and the Hawks are the 8 seed. Would the Charlotte Hornets have given more of a fight? I don't know. Maybe they would have. The series is only 2-0, and it's heading back to Atlanta. And Atlanta's really good in Atlanta, so who knows? Maybe the Hawks can win this series. But I don't know, man. Jimmy Butler's back to his 2020 bubble form. And that is something that legitimately every single team should be completely and utterly scared of. The fact that Jimmy Butler is back to this state he's in. It's just insane to me. It's absolutely insane to me how Jimmy Butler has played in the first 2 games of the series. What, dropped 45? When's the last time Jimmy Butler dropped 45 in a game? He's never dropped 45 in a playoff game. Now, it does help he's getting guarded by the Hawks defense. Next round probably won't be so easy. I don't know who they play. Would they play the Bulls in the next round if they won? I don't know. I don't know how seeding works. Would it be the Celtics? No, it wouldn't be the Celtics. The Celtics are a 2 seed. I think it would be the Bucks or the Bulls. And both of them have better defenders than the Hawks do. Just put Caruso on Jimmy Butler for every possession of the game, and Jimmy Butler will score 12 points. That's all there is to it. That is all there is to it. Speaking of Bucks and Bulls, let's talk about that game. DeMar DeRozan, just incredible player. This is, 41 points in game two after getting called Frozen DeMar DeRozan, which, by the way, could be good and bad. I feel like Frozen for Trae Young means good. I mean, I don't feel like. Frozen for Trae Young does mean good. He's Ice Trae. But for DeMar DeRozan, it's bad. So, let's come up with a new nickname for either one of them. I don't care which one it is. Preferably DeMar DeRozan, because Ice Trae just goes so hard. But we can't have ice be a good and bad thing. Just can't. Cannot happen. Caruso was really good defensively. DeMar DeRozan was really good offensively. Zach LaVine was really good, period. Giannis was Giannis. He was really good. I believe it hit 18 free throws. And I didn't see how many he made, but it's new Giannis. He knows how to make free throws now. I'm assuming he made at least 12 of them. And Chris Middleton got injured, which can be good for the Bulls, or can be bad for the Bulls, depending on what version of Chris Middleton you got. It might not even matter. First two games of the series, you've gotten the bad version of Chris Middleton, besides like one quarter of the last game. He's now out, and it legitimately might not change a thing in the series, or we could be missing like a random 45-point Chris Middleton game, which is possible. Jrue Holiday's not doing good, and it's looking like the exact same problem as it was last year for the Bucks. And you know what happened then? The Bucks won the championship behind a top five greatest playoff run ever, probably, from Giannis Antetokounmpo. Can he do it again? Probably. Probably can. We'll see. What's the other series in that? Oh, the Celtics-Nets?
I mean, the Celtics defense is really good.
But we knew that going in. We absolutely knew that. We're not shot by that. What we are shot by is Kevin Durant shooting 4 of 17 from the field. And he still ended up with like 27, I think. That's not Kevin Durant. That's not Kevin Durant. I expect the Nets to win game one, or game three and four. But maybe I'm wrong. If the Celtics win game three, I think this is the only series in history that could possibly see a 3-0 comeback. At least to bring it to seven. I don't know. I think the Nets will take the next two games. I do. And if they don't, Steve Nash is gone in the offseason. That's all there is to it. Steve Nash is a bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm tired.
I got up at 6 today. It's 9:37. So, do the math there. It's more than, like, 15 hours, I believe. What's the other series in the East? And it's probably bad, so that's why I don't know what it is. I have no clue. I have not a clue who the other series in the East is. Got the Hawks, Heat,
the Celtics, Nets, the Bucks and Bulls.
I can't think of it. Let's go to the West. Jazz and Mavericks are playing right now. I don't know what's happening in that game, so I won't talk about it. All I'll say is Jalen Brunson. He's going to get paid some money this offseason. Who by? Not sure. Probably the Mavericks. But yeah, he's pretty good. Donovan Mitchell's pretty good. And Donovan Mitchell, anybody notice this? It's like a stand-up routine. Anybody notice what's happened with Donovan? No. Donovan Mitchell, whenever he plays in the playoffs, has a really good player against him just go off for 50 every year. Last year, it was Dylan Brooks. This year, it's Jalen Brunson. 2 years ago, it was Jamal Murray. Just random guys from teams just going insane. I don't know what it is. I've seen like a scorecard, like a graphic ESPN's posted of Donovan Mitchell with 37 points, and Jalen Brunson, Dylan Brooks, and Jamal Murray with 50. I know Dylan didn't have 50 last year, but he had like a 30-point game, I think.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Nuggets, Warriors, that series cooked. The Nuggets were my preseason pick for the championship, assuming Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray, Will Barton all didn't get injured. I assumed wrong on that. Well, of course, Jamal Murray was already injured, but I thought he'd come back from injury for the first time in 16 years. But no, Jamal Murray's not played a organized basketball game in what feels like forever. What feels like forever. I'll be honest. Don't know when it was. It's not been recently. It's not been recently. Was it really the bubble? Was the last time he played a game in the bubble? Is that a thing? That seems like a thing to me. Oh, no, because I don't think he got injured in the bubble. So he would have played like a week last year and then got injured. That series is cooked, by the way. It's a pool party. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins. You're all invited to the Jordan pool party. He's pretty good. And they'll probably sweep that series. And now, maybe the most interesting series somehow in all of this. I don't know how this has happened. The Pelicans were the 8th seed for good reason. They're not good, in my opinion. But Devin Booker's hurt for at least 2 games. Going back to New Orleans, CJ McCollum is a waiting 47 points. Brandon Ingram is a waiting 50-point game. Both of them can go off for 55 in the next game, and I wouldn't be surprised. Now, obviously, when I do these stat totals, adjust for inflation. I'm sure they won't go off for 55, but 38 is not impossible for either of them. I mean, I think Brandon Ingram just scored 37. So, I wouldn't be shocked. I would not be shocked. I do think the Suns still win the series. Because I think Ayton is going to be really good in the rest of the series. And I think CP3 is going to go insane. He's going to go insane. Also, Scott Foster refereed the last game, so not really a win for the Suns. They're the Pelicans. Not really. What is the other series in the East, bro? Oh, Sixers versus Raptors. Yeah, that series is done. It's 3-0, so that's over. I don't have to talk about it. I don't have to talk about that series. Thank you for doing me justice, and I haven't talked about it. Let's predict a couple series now. Heat win, for sure. Celtics are going to win that series, I think, still. I had the Nets versus Suns as my finals pick. Nets have lost 2 in a row, so I'm changing that. I'm changing that. I think the Bucks will beat the Bulls, and I think the Sixers obviously will beat the Raptors. Suns, I still have beating the Pelicans, maybe in 6 games. I still have the Timberwolves, because I'm not going to pick the Grizzlies. It's not going to happen. Warriors, obviously, and the other game is Jazz Mavs. I think the Mavs win that series because Luka's coming back soon. But I don't know what the score is to the current one. And if you go down 2-1, anything can happen in Utah. Utah is a raucous crowd in many a way. So could they win 2 in a row and go up 3-1? Yeah. But when's the last time we saw the Jazz up 3-1 in the playoff series? Was it last year? Were they up last year 3-1 to the Clippers? I know they were up 3-1 to the Nuggets, and they lost that series. I think they were up like 2-1, maybe 3-2. I don't think it was 3-1. I think I would hear more about it if it was 3-1. I do not believe it was 3-1. You would think with how many 3-1 leads they blow, Doc Rivers is their coach. He's not. Yeah. Then I think the Jazz and the Warriors would face each other. No, the Mavs and the Grizzlies would then play each other, and the Mavericks would win that series because, and this isn't even like another team that beats the Grizzlies in a 7-game series, unless Luka's still injured. I don't know. I think the Grizzlies match up better than they actually look like they match up against the Mavericks. They just lose all the games against them. I still go Mavericks there, though. And Suns, I think if Devin Booker comes back, will beat the Warriors. Heat, Bucks. Give me the Bucks. And then Celtics versus Sixers. That'll be a fun series. Happens legitimately every year. Give me the Celtics because Al Horford has shown that he can stop Joel Embiid on many occasions. Daniel Tice, big body to throw at Embiid. I think we could do that. I think that's fine. And give me the Bucks to beat the Celtics. No one on the Celtics is guarding Giannis. That's not going to happen. There's no one on that team that can guard Giannis. And especially Chris Middleton's back. And I know Chris Middleton's inconsistent. Sometimes he's good. Sometimes he's not good. Drew Holiday, sometimes he's good. Sometimes he's Patrick Beverly light. So I still think the Suns make the finals. Because I think they'd beat the Mavericks in a series. And I think the Bucks would beat the Celtics in a series. And I think we'd have a rematch of last year. That is, I still maintain the right to be right if the Nets and Suns meet in the finals. But the way with Kevin Durant's playing, I don't see it happening. I really don't. As much as I love KD and Kyrie, I do indeed love both of them. I don't think that they can beat the Celtics. I think the Celtics match up really good. Especially up 2-0. Heading back to Brooklyn, though. So I do reserve the right to still be right. I do still reserve the right to be right. And finals pick? Ooh. I just think. If the Bucks make the finals, I think they win it. Because I just don't think CP3 is good enough anymore. I think he's taking a step down from last year. Yeah, he's going to drop like 78 points next game because I said that. But that's not his game. So give me the Bucks in 7 again. Actually, they only won in 6 last year. That felt like a 7-game series. That felt like the most 7-game, 6-game series of all time. If that makes any sense. And it does. It makes a ton of sense. So, give me the Bucks to win that series. And pray for me as I go into this house and reveal that I bought a $65 controller. I get paid tomorrow, though. So, you can't be too mad. And I didn't buy anything at Bristol when we went there. I didn't buy a thing. Didn't buy a single thing. I am now home, though. Thank you all for vibing in the Ritz car along with me. And we'll see you next time when we vibe in the Ritz car. Well, it's the collaboration you've all been waiting for. Where I collab with myself. This is the Vibing in the Ritz car podcast. Joined by the co-host, CTF Football Podcast. We talk about the draft. I want to talk about the draft. Really bad. I haven't had a way to, so I'm like, you know what, on the way from work, let me go ahead and talk about it, and I'll post it under both the names of both podcasts. So we are vibing in the Ritz car, but we're also CTF Football podcasting it up, and just ate Chick-fil-A, and now we're heading home. But let's talk NFL draft, shall we? Let's start with the first overall pick, Trayvon Walker. Big time potential for Trayvon Walker. That's why you go number one. It's big time potential like Trayvon Walker's got. And he's going to be very good right away. How good will you be? It's yet to be determined how good he'll be yet right away. We know out of the box, he's an elite run defender immediately. He's going to come in and be the best run defender on that team. And he has shown flashes of becoming a very scary pass rusher. Physical profile's there. He's a monster. That whole Georgia defense was monsters. 36-inch arms. A crazy vertical jump, like 40-plus inches, I believe. He ran well. He's not just a combine warrior. He also just played really good last year for Georgia. I think he only had 4 sacks, but I don't really care. We've seen a lot of players that don't put up that much production in college become superstars in the NFL, and vice versa. Players that put up a lot of production don't become superstars, and that's usually what happens. Usually the people that put up the most production don't become superstars in the NFL. And I think that Trayvon Walker will fall into the role of he'll put up a great career, even though he did not have the crazy stats that say, and Aiden Hutchinson does, and not saying Aiden Hutchinson is not going to be good. We'll get to Aiden Hutchinson in a minute, but we'll talk about the rest of the Jaguars draft. They get Trayvon Walker, number one, and then you add on Devin Lloyd and Chad Muma to Foyesay Olukun, which is pretty good. The linebacking core is pretty good for them. I do like that for them. I think that that's a very good linebacking core. Young linebacking core. Foyesay, I believe this is, he's like, he first popped up in my radar last season, like towards the end of last season. Not the end of last season. Towards the end of two seasons ago and last season. He's really good, big time tackler, but we're not talking about him. We're talking about Chad Muma, who I think is super talented. He's a steal. I believe they got him in the, what, the fourth or third, third or fourth round. Big time steal. He's got massive potential. I really like Chad Muma. And then you've got Devin Lloyd, who arguably is the most pro-ready linebacker in the draft. So there's that. I really like the draft. There's other things they did. I can't remember every pick from every team, but I remember the highlights of all the teams. And those are the highlights. Those are the three big highlights for the Jaguars. Let me preface this video, by the way. By the way, this might be multiple parts. I don't know. Because this is only a 25-minute drive home, so I don't think I'll be able to talk about the entire draft 25 minutes when I spent 3 minutes on the first team. But yeah, I don't think anybody in this draft did badly. I don't think there was one team that didn't have, like, that had a bad draft. Like, a lot of teams didn't have good drafts, but there was no, like, bad drafts, I do not believe. Which is the first time in a long time, and not a lot of that's because there's the depth in this class, and this class is so deep, and we knew it was going to be. We knew it didn't have the top-tier names, but it's going to have depth that a lot of classes recently don't. And that's just so cool. We don't have a lot of those classes, so I think we'll see a lot of late-round picks become studs this year. Become studs. Like, Chad Muma might be an absolute stud. Other guys that I think could be studs, we'll talk about later on, but late-round picks are going to be really good this year because of all the depth the class has. So the Jaguars did really good. I know a lot of people don't like the Trayvon Walker pick because they care about stats and not what you can become, which is stupid to me, but anyway. I think it's going to be working out for them. Trayvon Walker's the beast. Lions, what a draft. What a draft. I'm biased, of course, but I think I've been unbiased when the Lions have had bad drafts. 2018, whenever we took, like, Jelani Tavai in the second round, that was a brutal draft. We got Amani Oruwariye in that draft, but brutal. Brutal. But Brad Holmes, past two seasons, I've loved what he's been doing, building up in the trenches. You get Aiden Hutchinson, hometown kid. He wants to be in Detroit, I think. He said he wants to. I'm going to believe him. And his family really did seem hyped that he's going to be on the Lions. And I'm hyped as well. He has the highest floor, probably, of any player in the class. He's going to be an all-pro caliber player in five seasons. Like, that's just what he's going to be. He might not be, like, a five-time all-pro like Aaron Donald, but he'll be one-time all-pro, maybe two. He'll make Pro Bowls. He'll be in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. He'll be in the running for Rookie of the Year this year. I really like Aiden Hutchinson, and I like the pick for the Lions. He's running in a different system than he ran at Michigan, I believe, so he'll have to get used to that, but I think that already it sort of fits his style of play. I think we're going to be very run-stop heavy, and we're going to pressure on third downs, like we did last year, kind of, but I think it'll work out better this year. The personnel's there. You get Jameson Williams, you trade up, you fleece the Vikings. They get 32 and 34 for, like, 11 and 43. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous that we got that done. And we get the best receiver in the class by a wide margin, in my opinion. Now, saying that before he was even drafted by the Lions, I had no expectations the Lions were going to get Jameson Williams in the slightest. I never thought of it. Last year, I thought a lot about us getting Devontae Smith. And then I was disappointed when we got Penei Sewell, even though Penei Sewell's great. And I knew Penei Sewell was great. But I wanted Devontae Smith. We just got Devontae Smith again. We just got a more injury-prone, possibly, Devontae Smith. And I'm here for it, man. I'm here for what Jameson Williams has become. Jameson Williams, at his best, is a taller Tyreek Hill. And that's all there is to it. third round Joshua Pascal, or second round Joshua Pascal. I would have liked other picks here, but he's not a bad player. He's far from a bad player. You get Rodriguez, Malcolm Rodriguez. What's his name? I know he's really good. I watched him in college. He was really good at Oklahoma State, the leader of that defense. And I like what we're doing on all the lines of defense, the front seven, the linebackers, and the safeties, corners. We have a leader in all those spots. Aiden Hutchinson will be the leader of this team on defense, on the line especially. Then you've got Rodriguez, who we know is the leader of the Oklahoma State defense last year. He'll lead that linebacking core. And in the secondary, Tracy Walker is basically the leader of the whole team. Tracy Walker is Detroit right now. So I love what they're doing there. We've got a lot of leadership in this team. They go Chase Lucas in the seventh round. Dude's so talented. He's got a lot of off-field issues, I believe I heard. But he's very good. And I think everybody knew he was very good. If he's the right player I'm thinking about. There's more picks in this draft that I just can't think of. There's a really good player from Jackson State that got taken in the sixth round. I don't know how good he'll be, but he's in the draft. I'm sure there's other picks that I just can't remember for the Lions. But Rodriguez, Jameson Williams, and Aiden Hutchinson make it an A-plus draft for me. I think all of them are going to be studs. The only thing wrong with Rodriguez is he's small, but I don't really think that matters in the modern NFL. I think small actually is becoming more of the norm for quarterbacks and corners, and not really receivers, but maybe receivers at some point. Running backs are getting smaller, I feel like, so maybe small is the move. But I think he'll be very good, and Aiden Hutchinson obviously will be good, and Jameson Williams has potential to be the best receiver in the league. Like, he has that kind of potential. He has Calvin Johnson potential. Not like he'll play like Calvin Johnson, but he has, like, becoming the best receiver in the league, like Calvin Johnson was for a time, potential. In my opinion, third overall, who picked third? This is fun. Oh yeah, Texans took Derek Stingley. That's a good pick. If you get freshman Derek Stingley, it's a great pick. If you get past two seasons Derek Stingley, who I think was a little bit overhated, I think we got our expectations way too high. I still think he was good on a down-to-down basis, usually. There were plays that he took off, but who wouldn't take off plays on that LSU team? It was garbage, dude. Terrible. Terrible team. But I do like him. I think he's going to be very good. Kenyon Green, you get in the second round, you get John Metchie. You basically just draft a starter at every position. So sort of what you need to do when your roster's as bad as theirs is, I like this draft for them. It was like an A-, and there's a lot more picks than I just listed, but obviously my brain doesn't work. So we will move on to the Jets, who I know five of these picks from memory. I know six of them. They got the tight end from Ohio State. I don't know his name, but he's from New York, from Long Island. He was a Jets fan growing up. Obviously, I know who all these players are, basically. I just can't remember their name because I'm not good with that name thing. Not Greg Dulcich. He went to the Broncos. But yeah, you know who I mean. He was very happy to be a Jet. Anyway, you get Sauce Gardner fourth. Depends on how you like Sauce Gardner, if he's a great pick at three or at four. I believe he is a great pick at four because I think he has Darrell Revis potential. And I think he will play like Darrell Revis. I think Sauce Island could be a thing. I think Sauce could buy an island just like Darrell Revis did. So you do that. Then you get Garrett Wilson at 11, I believe. Now, I'm not the biggest Garrett Wilson guy. I think Garrett Wilson's going to be good. I think he's going to be a good player. I don't think he's going to be a superstar, but I'm probably going to be wrong. So, you know what I'm not wrong about? Jermaine Johnson at 26 is ridiculous. That's stupid. That is absolutely ridiculous that they got that done. They traded back up. He somehow fell to him. They didn't overpick him at 4. I think at 11 it was even, like, I think you'd be fine with taking him at 11. Even 4, I think some people would have been like, oh, that's a reach. But I would have been like, okay, cool. They didn't go Sauce, they went Jermaine Johnson. and it wouldn't have shocked me. And they get him at 26. Then they get Breece Hall at 34, I believe. What are we doing? What are we doing? This is an insane draft. And you get Max Mitchell in the 4th or 5th. I cannot remember which one. But he's already a pro-ready guard. This draft is unbelievable. This is a top 3 draft, I believe, in this draft. I feel like my top 3 are Baltimore, New York, and New York. Both New York teams. But yeah, I mean, just a sick, sick draft from the Jets. Joe Douglas continues to draft well. Will it pay off into wins? That's another question entirely. Will they be good? Who knows? Who knows if they'll be good or not? Zach Wilson, still a question mark, even though he can make legitimately every throw. Will he make every throw is the question. Let's get to fifth pick in the draft was Kayvon Thibodeau. Steal. Best player in the draft, in my opinion. I've been saying it for a while. Best player in the draft. He's so good. He's so good. Prospect fatigue really got to Kayvon Thibodeau. Like, if he was a guy who bursted onto the scene this year and we didn't know about him since high school as a future, like, coming out of high school, people were like, okay, yeah, this guy's going to go number one in the draft in, like, 3 seasons. And if that hadn't happened, if he had been, like, Trayvon Walker, where he just bursted on the scene, he would have gone number one overall. But it's just we get bored of players being at the top of the draft all the time. They were like, oh, let me put this dude here. And then teams are like, all these mock drafts have Kayvon Thibodeau falling. And I guess he's kind of not great. No, it's not how it works, teams. Teams, it's not how it works. He's going to be very good. He is going to be very good. And you get Evan Neal at 7. Like, you get maybe the 2 best players in the class. I wouldn't say that, but maybe. In a row. Like, that's ridiculous. Then you get Wan'Dale Robinson, who I love. I don't know how he's going to fit along Kadarius Toney, but we'll see. I think Joe Shane said they weren't going to trade. Excuse me. That they weren't going to trade Toney. So we'll see how they sort of differentiate those two. Because they're very similar players. They're very similar. If you watched any Kentucky game last year, they would always compare Wan'Dale Robinson to Kadarius Toney. So, that is interesting, but I think that it'll be good. And they had some other picks, none really that were, like, amazing to me. But when you get 3 guys that I think will be future Pro Bowlers, like, you're good. You're good. That's a great draft. A+. 6 was Ike Mukwonu. The Panthers had a draft. The Panthers went with some athletes. They went some athletes. They didn't go for guys that are, like, incredible right now, although Ike Mukwonu is going to be really good right away. They went with Matt Corral. I don't like Matt Corral. I think he's not going to be good, but maybe I'm wrong. He's going to have Christian McCaffrey, Robbie Anderson, and DJ Moore to throw to, assuming Darnold does lose the starting job, which, let's just face it, he probably will. I do believe that Ike Mukwonu is going to be good. Matt Corral, maybe. He's a big-time question mark. There weren't really any other picks that stood out to me in this team. They got Amari Barno, who I love, so that's actually a really good pick. Amari Barno could be very good. He also could be very bad, so we'll see which one there is there, but I believe it's probably more of the former. I can't really think of any more picks they had. I'm sure they had some other picks that were good, but none of them really stood out. This is one of the middle-tier drafts for me, even though Ikem and Barno, I feel like, are both big hits. 8th was Drake London. Don't love the pick. I'm not a Drake London guy. He's going to be good, but he's going to be sort of... He's going to be very frustrating with the amount of times he doesn't create separation. I feel like you already had a better version of Drake London on the team already. Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is just a better version of every player in the league. Kyle Pitts is that good. As there's a guy running off-road beside me, that's pretty cool. I enjoy that very much. But, yeah, the Falcons also drafted Justin Schaefer, John Fitzpatrick. This is just off the top of my head. They had a really good second-round pick. I can't remember who it is. They had Desmond Ridder. I'm not a Desmond Ridder guy either. I think Desmond Ridder is probably not good. I just don't think he was very good at Cincinnati. I think he had a lot of help. And... We'll see. Maybe. I mean, he does have potential. Like, that's objective. He has a lot of potential. He's got a cannon for an arm, but he's very inaccurate right now. So, we'll see how that develops along, but maybe he'll be good. Maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully, I'm wrong. We'll love to see Desmond Ridder be successful, be someone who was so successful in college, one of the most winningest quarterbacks of all time, go to the NFL and be winning again. That'd be so cool. That'd be so cool. Falcons, lower tier draft for me. I don't love Ridder. I don't love Drake London at 8. I would love Drake London at, like, 17. Like, that's cool, but I feel like you reached for him, like, a good bit. But maybe I'm wrong. Once again, hopefully I'm wrong. I like Drake London as a person, I'm sure. I'm sure he's good. I'm sure he's good. 9. I think we'll get 10 picks in because we're, like, 5 minutes away from home. 9. Who picked 9? This is fun. Seattle. Seattle picked 9th. They got Charles Cross, and I like it, but at the same time, he's not a run blocker. He's not a run blocker yet, and you drafted a running back in the second round, plus you have Chris Carson, plus you just paid Rashawn Penny, plus you've got Travis Homer and DJ Dallas. Like, that's a lot of running backs for an offensive line that is not great at run blocking on paper. I don't know what to do about that. Maybe Charles Cross. Maybe. I mean, here's what could happen. Charles Cross, they didn't even run the ball. They barely ran the ball at all at Mississippi State. And maybe Charles Cross will immediately come in and just go back to his high school days, where I'm assuming he ran block more. So maybe he just immediately becomes an elite run defender, which hopefully that happens for them. That'd be cool. They get Boye Mafe in the second round. That is just maybe the best pick in the draft, value-wise. I think that pick is absolutely phenomenal. That's, like, the best pick in the draft. He's, like, a top 10 talent kind of guy, possibly, if he fulfills his potential. And he's going to one of the best spots he can possibly go to learn under Pete Carroll. And I think that that's really good for him. And I just think Boye Mafe is going to be really good. Kenneth Walker, he's a pick. That was definitely a pick. I feel like you could have picked somebody else. But Kenneth Walker is sick. And Abraham Lucas, great pick. You get Kobe Bryant and Tariq Woolen. Bro, two corners that could be very good. Right now, are either of them, like, all the way there yet? Kobe Bryant's kind of all the way there. He's not really that high of a ceiling player, but he's a high floor. Tariq Woolen is the high ceiling guy. Tariq Woolen is, like, freaking huge. Tariq Woolen is 6'4", and ran 2.46 or 4.26. Man, 2.46 would have been really impressive. So there is a real chance that he becomes a stud, but he's very raw. He's one of the rawest players in the draft, which is why he fell. Those measurables are a number one overall pick, but his experience, he's only played the position for 2 seasons. So does he become good? Maybe. If he becomes good, will he be amazing? Yeah, he'll be insane if he becomes good. So, good pick for them. That was a great draft. I love Seattle's draft. I think it was one of the more underrated drafts out of all the drafts. Who picked 10th? I don't know who picked 10th. Was it the Saints that traded up for a 10th pick? Did the Saints trade up for the 10th pick? No, the Jets had the 10th pick and took Garrett Wilson. Then 11th, the Saints traded for. So the Saints traded for the 11th pick in the draft and took Chris Olave. Who I like, Chris Olave, just smooth criminal, bro. He is probably the most smooth route-running receiver I have ever seen with my own two eyes. He can pull off any route you want him to, and he'll make it look like a dance move. That's all it is to it. That's all it is to it. He's super fast. He ran way faster for 40 time than a lot of people expected. Even though I'm not going to brag, but I expected him to run real fast in that 40, and he did. He ran really, really fast. I think Chris Olave is going to be really good. And you add him on to Michael Thomas, that's not even possible to guard. That's not even, like, possible. Because Michael Thomas is so underrated. He's so good at what he does. Michael Thomas is so good at what he does. Do I think his stat for most catches in a single season is overrated? Yeah, because Drew Brees threw him the ball every time. But I do think he's very good and underrated and overhated. You get Trevor Penning, big bust potential for him, big time. He looked garbage at the Senior Bowl, but he's got incredible potential. He's one of the more athletic tackles we've ever seen. And really, he might be a great player. He could very well be a great player. I really do think that. They got Alante Taylor, which is a pick for sure. Alante Taylor, good corner, not a great corner, but he could be very good. It's possible. He looks like he's very happy to be in New Orleans. So it always is some of it, it always is, if you're happy to be where you are. He's been learning from Dennis Allen, who is one of the best defensive coaches in football. So I do not question the pick. I'm sure he'll be very good. And yeah, there's that. 13th, the Texans already said it. They took Blah, the fifth dude. They took Kenyon Green. 14th, I think someone traded up for 13. I don't remember who traded up for 13. I'm sure someone did. Everybody traded up for everything. Let's talk about the Ravens draft before this is over. I think this will be a two-parter. We'll do another vibe in the Ritz car talking about picks like 16 through 32 at some point. Let's talk about the Ravens, bro. Who let this happen? Who let the Ravens do this good in the draft? David Ojabo, maybe the best player talent-wise in the draft. Like, that's not even a joke. He is maybe the most talented player in the class. He was my number 3 on my big board before injury. He is unbelievable. He's raw, but if you can capture that, you're getting a better version of Michael Strahan. That's all it is. You're getting a better Michael Strahan if you can capture his potential. That was in the second round, by the way. They got Kyle Hamilton and Tyler Linderbaum whilst trading away the dead weight that was Marquise Brown for a first. What are we doing? Why are we letting them do this every year? Then they get Travis Jones, who is amazing. Isaiah Likely, who will play wide receiver and be good at it. They get Charlie Kolar, who is really good at tight end. Lamar's going to love him. You get, who else? Jalen Armour Davis, who I don't like, but he's got so much potential. You get Tyler Beatty in the 7th. With all the injuries they get at running back, Tyler Beatty could come in immediately and start for them. He might win the 3rd-string job and be the best running back on that team. He is so good. And I think I'm missing like 1 or 2 players on this team that they drafted. This was the best draft, in my opinion. The number 1 draft of any draft. And that's the perfect way to end off this video, as I'm nearly home. How do you let the Ravens become even better than they are? Like, yes, they got rid of Marquise Brown and people act like it's a big deal. It's not. I promise it's not a big deal. You're opening up targets for Rashad Bateman and Devon Duvernay, who are both better than him. Who are both better than Marquise Brown is. Both of them can do one thing that Marquise Brown can't do. Catch a football. Now, neither of them can do it consistently, but Marquise Brown can't do it. Marquise Brown cannot do it. So, there's that. I really do love this draft from the Ravens. That is all for this episode of the Vibing in the Ritz Car podcast. I was your host, Connor Cates, and I will see you all next time when we vibe in the Ritz Car once again.